How to Prospect.
What is prospecting?
I've been asked many times to define prospecting, and the only practical way to define it I've discovered is to relate it to my own experience. When I began my career as a salesman, I took stock of myself. I added up the assets and the liabilities. At that point, as a very young man, I was appalled at the extent of the liabilities. Apparently, I lacked every attribute of a top salesman. I had no sales experience, no extensive education, no voice training, and certainly no captivating personality. As far as the assets were concerned, I could find only one, a determination so strong that it was almost an obsession, a burning, overwhelming desire to become a master salesman. Even at that early age, I considered this quality an asset for the simple reason that I had never heard of anyone achieving success who didn't want to achieve it.
A need for study.
I recognized the need for action to transform my desire into reality. The initial step was to study and analyze all the successful salesmen I could possibly meet and know. Then, I began to map my own plan. I concentrated on improving my voice and personality, my method of presentation, and the way in which I answered objections, made appointments, and closed sales. It was then that I realized what was missing. My improved talents wouldn't mean a thing unless there were enough prospects to present them to. In other words, without people to see, I could no more sell than a surgeon could operate without a patient.
Prospecting is universal.
I went back to all the successful professional salesmen I knew and asked one question of them. After you set your goal to succeed in selling, what is the single most important quality you can develop? They all gave the same answer. Prospecting, seeing enough of the right people at the right time. Actually, it makes little difference what you're selling. Insurance, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, appliances, automobiles, landscaping, real estate, or any other product or service. Your eventual success will be determined entirely on your ability to prospect. The larger your selection of prospects and the more you know about these prospects, the more qualified buyers you will develop, and the higher your closing average will be. This, then, I can tell you after over two decades of extensive experience. I would rather be a master prospector than a master of speech, and to have no one to tell my story to. The hub and the spokes. In many ways, prospecting can be likened to the hub of a wheel. Each spoke in the wheel reaches the hub at a different point. So it is with prospecting. There are several ways to arrive at the center of success. These various methods can be classed under approximately six different headings. Here are the six methods. 1. The cold canvas. This is probably the most unpopular plan of all. Calling on strangers all day isn't a very productive way to spend your time. However, I have known men who have used this plan very effectively. 2. The observation methods. Some salesmen believe this plan to be the best. It is important to remember, though, that observation to an alert salesman is infinitely more than just seeing. He keeps his eyes and ears open for every opportunity to meet new people in new situations. 3. The endless chain referral system. This plan very nearly approaches the ideal method of prospecting. As the name implies, it is a system in which the salesman sets up an endless chain and strives to keep it going indefinitely. When he makes a sale, he gets the names of several prospects from his new customer. As these prospects become customers, the salesman receives additional new names from them, and the cycle continues. 4. Old customers. Some of your best sources of business are old customers. In many cases, they are friendly, cooperative, and eager to help you. Oddly enough, though, many salesmen have a bad habit of neglecting old customers. Then one day, to their sorrow, they discover that the old customers have become prospects for someone else. 5. Nests. A very productive way of developing new business is to work from one prospect to another in the same office or plant. Thus, you create a nest of prospects in one location or in one business or profession. There are numerous advantages to this method, which will be explained later. 6. Center of influence. This is the system of prospecting to which I attribute most of my own success. The center of influence plan is based on this simple premise. The easiest way to gain an interview with a person is to be sent to him by someone he respects. When you develop an association with a person whose judgment others respect, you have created a powerful center of influence from whom you can obtain countless good prospects. It is phenomenal how many sales can often be traced back to the recommendation and influence of one powerful customer. This particular method has infinite possibilities and variations, and every one of them has a built-in success feature. A complete understanding of the principles involved in a center of influence prospecting plan can guarantee more sales and greater profits than you've ever known before. The new prospector. Begin immediately to school yourself in the idea that people are no longer just people. They're all prospects for whatever you have to sell. With this attitude firmly implanted, you'll be amazed at how different everyone appears. Before long, your change of mind will bring an even more remarkable change, an altered reaction toward what you once considered just a crowd. The people you see aboard trains, planes, and buses, in theaters and restaurants, even in the groups of marching men who go swinging down the street in a holiday parade, they've all suddenly changed from anonymous, faceless people to separate individuals, and they're all prospective customers. Once you've established this turnaround truth that people are prospects and prospects are people, you'll notice an even greater change in yourself. The physical action of prospecting, arranging to see and talk to new people every day, will cease to be a part-time chore and become instead a dynamic driving force, an obsession. When this happens, I'll guarantee that you're on your way to a permanent career in professional selling. Start at home base. If you're a new prospector, an ideal place to start prospecting is right in your own home. Ask your wife and the other members of your family to help you. First, on a plain sheet of paper, prepare a list of names, an initial inventory of prospects. Write down the names, addresses, and telephone numbers of everyone you and your family know. At this point, don't concern yourself with whether or not any of the people you've listed may be interested in what you're selling. You can indicate that information later. Buy a magic box. From a stationery store, obtain a small file box, at least 500 3x5-inch file cards, and several chronological dividers. Transfer the names from the initial inventory list to individual cards. Indicate on the card any relevant information you may know about the prospect, where he's employed, whether he is married or single, the club or church memberships he has, anything and everything that will help to bring that particular person into sharper focus every time you look at the card. Rates and ratios. A prospect's name, address, and telephone number typed on a card and placed in your prospect file doesn't mean much unless the card also indicates a rating. A rating provides an indication as to whether that particular person is a poor, fair, good, or excellent prospect to buy whatever product or service you're selling. The simplest indicators are the first four letters of the alphabet: D for poor, C for fair, B for good, and A for excellent. Once you've established these relative values and exactly what they mean in terms of prospective sales, you can begin to apply them. You're now ready to start prospecting in earnest, to arrange appointments by telephone, to make each appointment the opportunity for a sales presentation, and to close sales. You can do it because you've established a well-ordered system of prospecting. The endless chain referral system. By this time, if you've combined theory with productive action, your prospect file should be in fairly good shape. Some of the names may not have produced the results you originally anticipated, but they're worth keeping for future calls and reference. Concerning the continuance of this practice, however, I want to inject a word of caution. Don't allow a large number of prospects to create a false sense of security within you. It is at the conclusion of a successful sale that you sometimes forget the first link of an endless chain referral system. All that's necessary is to ask your customers to give you the names of several people they know personally, people who might be interested in the product or service you're selling. At this point, these names are only suspects. Later on, I'll explain how to convert them into genuine prospects. Don't forget to note your old customer's name on the new prospect's card, so you'll be constantly aware of the source of each referred name. Of course, you'll repeat the same procedure over and over again, asking every customer for the names of several new prospects. So actually, they name their own replacements in your file. Multiply this same situation by 20, 30, or 40, and you'll soon have a prospect file that can't possibly become exhausted. Remember, The success of the endless chain referral system depends on your asking for the names of new prospects every time you complete a sale. Screen your prospects. One of the most important questions in the screening of all the suspects who may become prospects is this. Do they have enough money to buy whatever you're selling? If they can't possibly buy because of a limited or restricted income, they're obviously not even a fair prospect. There is no use in trying to sell a man a Rolls-Royce, no matter how receptive he may be, when his income barely justifies a second-hand Ford. Let's assume that the majority of the prospects in your file can afford to buy. You still can't rate them honestly unless you obtain and consider additional information. A successful prospector may not know everything about a prospect he's never seen, but he obtains enough relevant information in advance to make the first interview highly productive. The following information, for example, could hardly be termed comprehensive. John Smith, age 35, married. Before you can rate John Smith honestly, you should know, among other things, how long John Smith has been married, what size family he has, what his children's ages and given names are, whether he owns or rents his home, what kind of car he drives, what church he attends, if any, what lodges or clubs he belongs to, how long he has been employed in his present position, what his estimated income is, what his hobbies are, and what his specific interests in sports are. It takes guts to be a prospector. These are only a few of the vital statistics that will help you assess John Smith as a prospect and arrive at a true rating for his name in your prospect file. Where do you get all this information? In most cases, you can get it from the customer who gave you Smith's name in the first place. Don't expect him to volunteer the information without any prompting from you. You have to ask for it. Don't vacillate or hesitate. Ask the new customer for every bit of relevant data you can think of, because the more you know about a prospect, the greater are the odds for a successful sale. Assuming that most of your sales work is done during the day or early evening hours, it's a good idea to establish a habit of working on your prospect file to bring it up to date every night before you retire. This is an ideal time to select the prospect you'll contact during the current week, or telephone for appointments the following day. The prospect file at this point should be operating with optimum efficiency. The name cards should be filed chronologically for quick reference according to the month, week, and day of the future appointment. Stop, look, and listen. Another powerful system of prospecting is observation. By that, I don't mean casual sightseeing, but carefully calculated observation. As you'll recall, I explained how, in order to become a master prospector, you must school yourself not just to see nameless people in a crowd, but to observe everyone carefully and to consider each person as a prospective customer. Where are these people? They're everywhere. They're on the street, in private homes, apartment houses, retail stores, factories, churches, and service stations, in automobiles and office buildings. All these places contain people whom you can find a way to meet and know. Don't be a looker. Once you've altered your frame of mind and trained yourself to mark the difference between just looking and careful observation, your technique as a prospector will slip into high gear. I know, because it has been one of the most successful practices I've ever used. There are dozens of ways to prospect profitably with observation, and they all work equally well whether you live in a small town or a big city. For example, the next time you walk down the street, pay particular attention to any new construction that's underway. New commercial buildings or new homes mean new people moving into that specific part of town. Each one of these people could become a prospective buyer of the product or service you're selling. All you have to do is meet them and get to know them, and that isn't as difficult as it sounds.